You are the spell that you're casting, baby. You are the spell that you're casting. You are the spell that you're casting, baby. You are the spell that you're casting. You are the spell that you're casting. You are the real that you're casting, baby. You are the real that you're casting. Casting, baby, you are the real that you're casting. Spell that you're casting, baby. You are the real that you're casting. You are the spell that you're casting, baby. You are the real that you're casting. What will you catch? What will you catch? What will you catch? Catch, what will you catch? What will you catch? What will you catch? What will you catch? You are the spell that you cast in, baby. You are the spell. You are the real that you're casting, baby. You are the real that you're casting.
This is John Fernsperato, Projecto. I'm going to say hi to people and see how many people say hi back. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, there we go. That's one. That's one.
This one is a riff that, has been bumbling around in my antenna through the years.
I'm loving the theme tune. It's great.
What you just heard right there was a voice message from Bedtime Stories Podcast that was in response to a theme song I left for them a week or so ago. Check them out, Bedtime Stories Podcast. Also, we heard a little giblet near the beginning there from John Garside from Forgotten Tales. While he's out there in the streets of Whittier, California. If you'd like, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Perhaps that's how you're listening to it right now. If you're listening to this on Anchor, perhaps you have the app downloaded, in which case that means you can collaborate with me if you like. You can go to my podcast within the Anchor app, and there should be a little spot on there that says message. You can press that button, leave a message for me, and I'll put it on this podcast. That goes for any of you who don't have Anchor, too. You can email me at inspiradoprojecto@gmail.com. Send me your audio files. Send me your found poetry. Send me your grocery lists. You can read them. Send me your child speaking gibberish. Send me the sound of a street musician out there in the alley. Send me the sound of your cats talking. Send me the sound of you eating your cereal up close. Send me your music. I'll credit you. I'll do it. So, you don't know what's going to happen next. You just never know. Could be anything.
Da 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 da.
Heather. Well, he nodded.
Here's an oldie but a goodie. What keeps me alive, what lets me breathe, what lets me cry, what lets me grieve, what is up its sleeve? Can I count on better than me to teach myself true bravery? How can I best be? How can I best be me? Great unknown, you have shown me. Great unknown, you have shown. Great unknown, you have shown me. There's more you than me. Me, there's more. More you than me.
Hey, dude, me. I got a package in the mail today, which is kind of odd, addressed to me by a guy named Mark Phillips, who lives in, which kind of interesting. I know my brother and you live near there. And it's awards from JPL, actually to a guy named Paul Van Dam, JPL flight project and NASA headquarters. And it's, I don't know, it's like a box of awards set for someone else, but double packaged and sent directly to me. So don't know what that's about. Anyway, kind of weird. Universe thing. All right, bye.
Hi, it's Mickey Dolenz here. You're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
The theme, or is it just whatever's going on in your brain that day?
The main overall theme of this podcast is that it's embracing the act of creativity, the process of creation.
Okay.
So it's very sloppy, very stream of consciousness, very schizophrenic at times, because, you know, it's my way also of being able to utilize characters and stuff that, you know, I would previously just do with my friends or my family, you know. And so it's such, because it's such a fun, intimate kind of thing, whatever ideas pops in my brain, I mean, it's like, you know, a lightning bolt for, like, this one is filled with a bunch of riffs, a bunch of songs on the ukulele and guitar that just popped into my brain, and I'm like, okay, you know what, let's explore this in real time.
Right, so this is kind of like a journal. This is kind of like a way for you to get anything that you're coming up with, all your creativity, to be recorded in some way, so that these ideas just don't disappear off into the ether, right? You need to have
a
record.
That's a great way of putting it. Yes, because I used to write down in the books, and I'll still bring this book with me because I like to draw on it. So I used to write down the ideas, or sometimes I would just record it into my regular just recording app or whatever. But the thing was is that I would find that it would just get filled with so much, you know, all that information would just get filled down here. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea was to take that and then just, and then plug it in my computer, you know, and put it on the hard drive or the C drive or what have you. And then for future, you know, because everything that I'm doing right now is a gift for my future self, you know, so he's able to look back on this archive of what I've done throughout my life. And so I realized that, you know, the whole idea was to take those ideas for future things and put them in. Well, I found out that I was hardly ever using those. And as soon as my buddy Lawrence told me about this app, I'm like, okay, this now becomes, because now it's trapped, it's encapsulated, it's a time capsule that's now in here for this particular moment in time. You know,
yeah,
and
it's time stamped. You're never going to forget that. Like with a notebook, obviously, you've got to record what day you put those ideas in there. But not only that, you put something in a notebook, that's great to put your ideas down. But then how do you share that with people, right? That's for you, that notepad. And unless you take it and physically show it to someone, it's the only way they're going to get to see it. So recording something and having a method of easily sharing that, yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, and plus it could be overwhelming to look at all the stuff in your notepad in front of you and go, okay, I just see a bunch of fragments, bunch of remnants, all these little things. How do I either, A, make sense of this, or is any of it worth making sense of? Or, you know, there's always those crazy battles of like, you know, what am I going to do with this information? How am I going to connect the dots? Yet with this, if the root of what this is, of what's going on with this, is basically a digital sketchbook.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, you know, there's this whole revolution that's coming about called ASMR. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Audio sensory. I forgot what the other ones are, but basically the idea is that.
Thank you so much.
Dig it. Thank you so much. The whole idea is that. Pardon me. So it's sounds that are designed to be heard in headphones.
Okay.
So it's sounds that are designed to be. You want to sit here?
Perfect.
It's sounds that are designed to be heard in headphones. So, here, let me scoot this over. It looks like you're wedged between the stool over there.
Oh, good.
but there are sounds that are designed to be heard on headphones. So, like, these people on YouTube, I noticed, they'll use these microphones that are like surround sound. So they'll go behind this side, go around that side, and they'll crinkle, like, maybe a potato chip bag. Or girls will paint their nails and stuff like that, or the all those little tiny, or take a comb and go through each tooth, and so it's playing with the senses of the ears and really getting you right there intimate with it, and a lot of it is whispering too. A lot of it is whispering, so they're like, okay, I'm going to give you a massage now. Let's get those shoulders going, you know. And so there's a lot of, it's like a lot of calm things.
Close your eyes. That person can be right there with you because you've got surround sound in your head, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so it enables you to, you know, visualize this thing that's going on, utilizing just your ears. You know, we hear about eye candy all the time. Well, there's that ear candy, and now it's like, ooh, I can see that those jelly bellies, you know, as they're going and crumpling, you know, crunch it around. Ooh, I can see those potato chips. Ooh, I can taste those potato chips. So there's a whole community of that. So I figure that since there are those who do appreciate that, I like a lot of times I'll add ambient sounds, or I'll have you know, just the 30-second sounds of sitting in an elevator.
Okay.
Or the close-ups of the gears of the escalator as we're going up. You know,
right.
Little things like that.
Will you put that in afterwards, or you try and capture that stuff as you're going?
Oh, yeah, I'll catch that stuff as I'm going.
Right.
And I also utilize this as a way of being able to capture my synchronicities, too. So anytime a synchronicity happens, I'm like, oh, this synchronicity just happened. Here's this crazy thing. I just dreamed of it earlier today. Bam, it's happening now. This person just said this thing. And then a lot of times, a synchronicity will happen while I'm in the middle of actually recording something. So then I'm actually, so then the listener is able to actually witness and feel the impact of that synchronicity as it happens in that moment. So it's being able to document those kind of magical moments in life.
Right, right, right. I mean, completely unscripted. Nothing completely unplanned, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. It's interesting that someone would usually sit down for a podcast and say, okay, this is my theme. I've watched something or experienced something, and now I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to review it. I'm going to go over something that I experienced, and I'm going to share that all with you. And it sounds to me like you're trying to actually capture life live in
mm-hmm,
a way,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and try and say, this is, you know, your experience, the listener's experiencing it with you.
Yeah,
in some
yeah,
context,
yeah.
Right? And yeah. I love that freeform way of thinking. That's
thank you, because I realized if the attention is put on, you know, because it's so much, my dad and I have frequently talked about the paralysis of analysis, you know, and I'm sure that's a phrase that's floated around out there for a while. That idea of paralysis of analysis of going, I want to create this thing, but I've talked about it too much, or I've thought about it too much, or I really want it to be perfect, and I'm scared. I really want it to be polished right when it comes out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing is, sometimes we forget that there's that sloppy period. There's that period of being okay to kind of like, you know, stumble around in your pajamas and, you know,
yeah.
You got wrinkles in your shirt or whatever.
I mean, when you have an idea, that first kernel of an idea with endless possibilities of what it could become, right, is so exciting.
Oh, yeah.
But then when you start to then plan things and think about it, and then reality creeps in, and then there's suddenly restraints and things like, oh, well, have I got enough time to do this, or have I got enough money to put this together? Who am I going to collaborate with? But going back to that first original spark of when that idea first came to you, you know, it's endless what you could do with it.
Yeah, and then now imagine, like, capturing that original idea for that spark, or just those few chords for a riff. Those now become, well, documented, because now, in a sense, it's copyrighted, right? Isn't it? In a strange way, it's copyrighted now. And then on top of that, it's a little gift for your future self to be able to, okay, it's a way to chart your progress of a project. Maybe there's a riff that you did 3 podcasts ago, and you go, hey, let's play with that a little bit more. Let's play with that a little. Let's throw some lyrics in there. Ooh. And then while you're playing that, you're like, what the hell? We just went into a chord that I never knew was there.
Right. The other great thing about creating stuff, especially music, is when it just kind of flows through. If you know how to play an instrument, you pick it up, you just start to play. Who knows where these ideas are coming from? They're coming from somewhere, right? And if you get that stuff recorded, you're just playing. You're not even thinking about it. Just playing. And then later on, you can listen back to it, hear something that you really like, and it's almost like someone else wrote it. You know, you're listening to a recording of someone playing, even though it's you, and you can hear something as a listener and think, I really like that. That's cool. I'm going to work on that. So you can kind of say, well, it sounds like I'm taking something from someone else, but it was you that came up with it. And that's great.
And it's exciting, too, because it's a wonderful exercise in authenticity and pure intention and motivation and, like, it's an audio visual way of seeing, okay, I planted these seeds, let's see how they grow, and who knows, maybe there's something in there that'll inspire someone who's listening to it that goes, ooh, I've been having a hard time for a song, that'd be a great transition for my song, can I utilize that, let's collaborate, oh yeah, absolutely, like that'd
right.
be kick-ass.
And someone else listening to it will maybe pick up on something that perhaps you didn't. You might record a whole bunch of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and pick out a couple of things that you like, but somebody else might say, there was this one thing that was awesome, that was great, you know, maybe you should work on that. And you think, okay, all right, maybe I'll go back and revisit that and have a think, and maybe I could rework it in a certain way. And that's the thing with sharing your podcast, the way that you're doing, in that with a notebook, no one's going to see that unless you show it to them, but with a podcast, everyone's listening to it, they can kind of put their input into it and pick out things that maybe you missed.
It's fun, too, because people are now sending me, because I got the email address inspiratoprojecto@gmail.com, so anybody can send me any sort of audio, whether it's music or whether it's, them reading their own poetry or the sound of their dogs, you know, speaking gibberish to each other, and all of that stuff is for this. It's like, do you ever listen to Dr. Demento? Do you remember that guy?
No.
It was a radio show where he just put the most obscure sounds on there. Weird Al Yankovic got his start on there. Another one, Rad's Bassa. Dun, dun, dun. And it's just him, and he's in a bathroom, and he's playing an accordion. Yeah, and it's just, that's it. And then it started, and that was the whole thing that started. So And then, like, Orson Welles, how he likes to play with audio, you know, is it real, is it not real?
Mm-hmm.
And then the aspect of National Lampoon, which was those guys were putting together skits and stuff like that. So I always like to say that Inspirato Projecto is like a cross between all of those kind of put together, you know, into this podcast, and you kind of blend them together.
But I mean, you yourself, you're not just a musician. You know, you write, you're an actor, you film stuff, filmmaker, I guess, as well, comedian, I guess, you know, funny guy. All these kind of things. How can you decide on one path to take, and how do you control? There must be so much coming out and pulling you in so many different directions. It must be difficult to try and think, what am I going to work on today?
It's tricky because I always have, like, all ideas that I have down in my notebook, those are so precious to me. Those are my little children, and I feel such guilt if I'm not giving them oxygen to breathe, if I'm not giving them a chance to grow. And there's a lot of them, you know, so it's like there's an obedience. I if there's anything that I feel tied to or feel like, what's the word I'm thinking of? What's that word where you feel like you're accountable? I'm accountable to these ideas. And it's sometimes I'm like, I feel like, you know, I must get these things done because otherwise their feelings would get hurt. Do you feel that way too with your ideas?
You mean, yeah, you gave birth to them, you got to feed them, right? Yeah, they're your responsibility now, okay?
Dude,
right?
It's so
I know
true.
What you mean. But would, I mean,
what a great way of putting it.
Do you feel that most of your time is directed towards music, would you say? That most of your ideas are musical-based? Or would you say that you share most of your ideas across a larger spectrum of creativity?
I think a lot of different things, because a lot of times in my brain, it's, you know, it happens to everyone. However, a lot more lately, I've been noticing it's like a true choose your own adventure path. You know, I'm like, okay, bam, okay, here are these five things. Okay. Which path am I going to go down?
Yeah.
You know, right now. And
yeah.
So lately, I've really been trying to give much more of a higher value to just whatever my heart wants to go in that mm-hmm. second, and try to be as tuned into that as possible. So sometimes it's a strange character, you know, an idea for a weird skit, you know, and normally I'll go, oh, here's this idea for a skit, diddle diddle diddle. Now I just act out the skit if I got the podcast. I suddenly might just start talking like some character, and all of a sudden this new thing emerges, you know. And so I'm allowing rather than being put, like, maybe in a mental institution or being diagnosed for who knows what, this now becomes sort of the therapist, I guess, or the canvas that I'm throwing, the Jackson Pollock painting.
That makes sense. Yeah, how do you feel about, like, when you think about your brain and how it comes up with ideas, do you feel that your brain is fast? Do you feel that your brain, let me try and explain, like, what I mean. Do you feel that your brain is working faster than, say, most people? A non-creative person, or maybe someone that gets up and goes to a steady 9-to-5 job, maybe an accountant or someone like that, kind of a dull sounding job, and then someone like you that is just bursting with ideas. Do you feel that your brain is moving really quickly and you struggle to kind of keep up with it, or to you is that the normal speed and everyone else is super slow?
You know? It's so interesting you say that, because I think because I spend so much time, I've truly like actually become what I envisioned that I would one day be and or do, which is actually just making a true living at just doing creative things. If it's not the wedding video editing, then it's the Otley Crew stuff. If it's not the Otley Crew stuff, like recently I did some camera work for Operation Tone Up. So it's great. So I can actually truly now say that I'm living an artist life. Now, what goes along with that is that I'm home, you know, a whole lot. And so what goes along with that is that I spoil my heart in the artistic directions that it wants to go in. And so because I've spent, I let it off the leash, and I just see, okay, where do you want to go? Lewis and Clark, where do you want to go? Let's just, you know, let's go in that direction. You're asking me for a direction, let's go that direction. Or it goes, we want to go here, and I go, okay, let's see, where are you going? Where are you going? Let's see where you're going with that. And so I think what's tricky is that because there are so many ideas, I want to give such, I have such an allegiance to them that sometimes when I'm talking with people, it's, I speak very, very fast sometimes. And I think sometimes it's tricky for folks to keep up with what I'm saying, which is unfortunate because here I'm giving this message. Obviously, I want it to be heard and I want to have a discussion about it. So I'm learning to slow it down and not be afraid that the ideas are just going
right past me.
Right, but I mean the opposite scale of that, and I've suffered before when I've sat at home and thought, I've got nothing. I've got nothing right now. I can't think of anything. I can't think of a project to work on or some music to do. That happens, and that's a horrible feeling for someone that likes to be creative. That's a horrible, horrible feeling. And I'm guessing that you're lucky and that doesn't happen to you often. It sounds to me like there's always a fresh idea on the way.
Yeah, and I think plus two, ever since now that I got into this habit of making the podcast, since I give every idea that's on the tip of my tongue a dance floor to just, here's all the elbow room, there, go ahead and break dance, show us what you got there, the backspin or the centipede or windmill. And so I just give it, you know, because I give it what it wants to do. Now when I don't have the podcast running, all these ideas are coming to me. So I'm either writing them down, or I'm talking out loud to myself a lot more. I would say a thing that would help a lot is, ever since my car died, I've had to take public transportation. So I'm in the buses, I'm on the subways, I'm out there in the world talking to just tons of people all the time. And as a result of just being out there, walking around, being near nature, being, you know, foot on the street kind of thing, you get a lot of ideas that way too, well.
So if you see someone interesting, like a stranger, would you approach them?
I've been doing a lot more lately.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had any interesting encounters doing that?
I interviewed a girl who's working at this place called Liberate Emporium, and they had all these great stones and crystals and all this stuff. They had practitioners in the back who would teach it, you know, about past life regression and how to, you know, Reiki healing, all kinds of stuff like that. And I was looking around, and I was just looking at these stones, and bam, I look at this one stone, and it's called the Rainbow Moonstone, and it's for synchronicity. And I go, I'm getting this.
Like your thing, right?
I'm going to get this thing. And so I went up, and I had a discussion. I'm like, okay, since I'm talking with you, let's make a podcast, huh? She's like, oh, yeah, sure. So I interviewed her. We were talking about synchronicities. She was telling me about what she loves about synchronicities. I was telling her what I love about synchronicities. We were talking about the Rainbow Moonstone. Ever since I was a little kid, I was always fascinated with Roy G. Biv. The fact that you can make a name out of the rainbow, Roy G. Biv, has always been such a fascinating thing. So this Rainbow Moonstone, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. And just the way that it looks, okay, I'm getting this thing. But it was great to be able to learn. Every person now that I walk down the street is a new possible, like, just treasure trove of information that I can learn from. It's crazy now that just how different I'm looking at my world. It's now like a video game, or it's like a cartoon or something now. Every person has now become a possible guest on my, you know, I mean, this is a radio station that I'm taking with me, so to speak. That blows my brain.
Right. And a lot of people like their own little bubble. They like to stay contained in there. They don't want anyone to penetrate there. But it is fascinating out there. You do see people walking along the street and you think, I want to know what their story is, right? But so many people are shy, or they wouldn't have the courage to just approach a complete stranger and say, hey, can I talk to you for 5 minutes? So if you do have the courage to do that, oh my God, the kind of things that you can discover, right?
Oh, it's so funny too, because like this podcast has given me the license to do that. Like, this is my magic wand now. This is now like, yeah, abracadabra. Mm-hmm. And I wave it near this person and they're going to give me this extraordinary information. And it's crazy.
Some people really want to tell their story. Some people want to be heard. Some people would say, hey, no one's ever asked me about myself before. Everyone's always talking about themselves, right? So someone comes up and asks me about me. Yeah, hell yeah, I'm going to talk to them.
And it's fun, too, because every Uber driver, now I get in the car, I get this running right before I get in the car, and I'm interviewing him. I'm like, sitting like this, so, and I'm pointing it at him. And this has a pretty good microphone, especially within a car. In there, it's made for keeping out sound, so it's kind of like a sound booth. So I could, and I just point it at him. I'm like, oh, tell me some more about that, you know, or what are your passions, what are your talents? So I want to get their mind out of the car, out of the vehicle, out of this hamster wheel, and into that thing of like, oh, I always loved doing that. Oh, I, you know, and getting them talking, reminiscing.
Nobody
about
was born to, I want to grow up to be an Uber driver.
Right.
I've got other kind of dreams going on. Mm-hmm. So I was like, what about your bandmates? Have you interviewed any of those guys?
I've been interviewing those guys more and more.
Yeah.
I'll do back behind the scenes stuff with those guys. Like Paulie will be doing his saxophone scales, and I'll record that. Or they'll be doing some silly thing, and I'll just, you know, put the microphone in there and get them talking. The tricky thing is to, like, if anything embarrassing is said, I delete the recordings. However, what I I only ask them permission after I've already recorded it, because that way I can get a candid, honest appearance.
If somebody knows they're being recorded, right? They're going to act a little differently,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
And well, you know, once again, that idea is to implant the listener into that live experience. So, you know, I'll go, okay, stop. And I go, you guys, that was awesome what you just said. There's nothing embarrassing what you said. It only, you know, enhanced the charm of your personalities. Can I keep it on my podcast? Because if I hit yes right now, it's going to be into one of the segments, yeah. you know.
How else are you truly going to get honest reaction from someone if they know they're being recorded, right? And they think, okay, someone's going to be listening to this at some point. Better watch what I say. Or I have to be smart or witty or funny, you know. But, yeah, if you record someone and they don't know they're being recorded, you're recording them. You're recording your experience with them. And, yeah, the listener's going to feel like they were there hanging out with you that time, right?
And the thing, too, is that this is like, this has been pushing me to get away from, leaning more into just the groove of just being in that moment and rather than trying to, I don't know, sensationalize a moment that's happening in time, really get close to a purity of the now. You know, it's really get me into the now a lot.
Well, it helps for like someone like me who has a pretty bad memory. So everyone says, hey, what did you do last week? Because I've got my family back home in the UK, I don't speak to them every day. I speak to them once in a while. And the first thing they're going to say is, hey, what have you been up to? What are you doing these days? And I'm trying to recall all the stuff that's gone on in my life. And there's some pretty interesting things that are happening. But just trying to recall all that from memory, it's difficult to store all that stuff in there. Especially, you know, you have one incredible thing that happens to you. That's going to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, lots of little cool things. You know, they're in there somewhere, but you kind of tend to forget them. Recording something like this is you're always going to be able to look back on this 2 years from now, 5 years from now. You can look back on that, listen to something, it'll take you right back to that moment, and all these memories will come flooding back. You're like, you're creating nostalgia here for yourself.
That's right. Long ago, I can't remember when the revelation first struck me, but it dumbfounded me, that idea of people being in their deathbed, you know, their final days in their deathbed, and all the regrets they're thinking about, all the stuff they wish they had done. And I brought myself to that place, to that future self, and go, okay, I want to give him good stuff to think about while he's laying there. I want him to have fun memories, to go, you know what, instead of living with the regret of, oh, I wish I would have done this, or why wouldn't I just get up on that open mic and go ahead and sing this song, or, you know, let's give him gifts. Let's give him, like, things so he's happy about the decisions that he made in his life, and go, okay, I made that decision, but I can't constantly take a crap on that and, you know, for the rest of my life and hold on to this grudge. Let's do this thing, get it over with. We know it's an experiment, because you don't know what you've carved until you start carving, so I might as well start carving and see where it ends up and go. Then I look at it, then I go, oh, look what I've drawn, you know?
That's smart. That's really smart. I mean, everyone knows how bad regrets are when you look back and feel like you've wasted time, you know? So for you to look ahead and say, what will I regret in the future? What do you think I'm going to regret? And then you can go, right, let's make sort it out now, right?
Oh my
let's
gosh.
Make sure that doesn't happen now. You know, a little exercise I do from time to time, I feel like I'm crazy when I do it, but I kind of think, like, let's say something bad happens to you, like you get into a little car accident, and you always look back and you say, oh, I wish I could go back like 10 minutes before that happened and I'd do something differently to prevent that from happening. Sometimes I'll sit there and think, okay, imagine I just had something bad happen to me, but then I was able magically to time travel back to this point before it happened. How happy I would be that I'd erased that bad thing from my life, and I would be super happy right now.
Oh.
And I kind of like pretend like something bad that hasn't happened to me has
incredible.
Been erased from my life.
Incredible.
And then it kind of gives you this injection of happiness.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Even though nothing really happened.
That's
right?
Astounding. So you're giving yourself that opportunity to choose a parallel universe version.
Yeah. And I'm kind of saying, right, let's pretend that I've just traveled back in time and I've erased it from my memory. The bad thing never happened, and now I'm just going to carry on with my life as if that bad thing never happened. And then I'm like happy for the rest of the day, right?
It's brilliant because it's giving yourself permission to redefine an experience and go, you know what, man, I'm co-signing on your decision. You go ahead and you erase it, you, like it's erase board, let's draw something else in there, something you're satisfied with, keep that picture in your brain.
It's kind of weird in that you're imagining something bad that hasn't happened to you. So like think of something awful that could happen in your life, right? Think about it, and then give yourself just a minute to imagine that it has happened. Oh my God, you start to feel really down. Oh my God, that, you know, if you had like a pet that died or something, oh my God, I feel awful right now that my pet died. And then you can tell yourself, hang on a second, that thing hasn't happened. And then suddenly you gee yourself right up and you feel great. God,
that's brilliant. That's an awesome way of like, of reality hacking, like the idea of even gratefulness too.
Reality hacking, I like that. That's a good term.
My buddy Bob Pagani, he coined that term because he's like a media hoaxer.
Okay.
So he was friends with Andy Kaufman, and he's friends with Alan Abel. Alan Abel did a lot of media hoaxing way back in the day. And so Alan Abel successfully faked his death over the course of a weekend. Andy Kaufman found out about this through Bob, and Bob goes, okay, let me introduce you to this guy. So Alan Abel taught Andy Kaufman everything he knew about faking his death. And he grilled him and grilled him and grilled him and grilled him. So this is one of the big reasons why, one of many reasons why people think that Andy Kaufman faked his death. So Bob Pagani continued doing these crazy media hoaxes. Like he and Alan did this hoax where he was an out-of-work truck driver named Bob Pagano, and they went to this little tiny town, and what it was a publicity stunt for a book that this motivational speaker, so he paid him $2,000, and he goes, whatever you don't spend here, you know, obviously, you know, I'm going to pay you to do this stunt, I'm going to give you whatever, you know, whatever you don't spend, you keep the rest of it. So what they did was they went into, they knew that there was a lottery that was up in the air, you know, okay, this lottery ticket, someone won. They go into the small town, and Bob, you know, whispers to the owner, the manager. He's like, okay, listen, please don't tell anyone. He's like, but I want to buy everybody's dinner in here. And there's probably only like 12 people in there, right? So, and he had $2,000 in his pocket. So it's like, so he's like, I want to buy everybody's dinner here. I just won the lottery, okay? But please keep it on the down low. Where's your restroom? Oh, it's over there. Okay. So he's like, okay, I know that this is going to start getting through, squawking and squawking. He said, by the time he got out of the restroom, there were two camera crews. They all interviewed him. And the whole publicity stunt was that he's like, I found the winning numbers inside this book. I found it in this book. So the whole thing was a publicity stunt. So people bought that book and go, oh, I need to get that book. So he's like, oh, yeah, I found it in this book. And like, you know, I never would have thought something like this would have happened. So they realized I guess they didn't make the announcement for the winner until after the weekend. So they had that whole weekend to play with this thing.
Good book sales that weekend, right?
Oh my gosh, dude. And that was the great thing because it went skyrocketed these
and
book sales.
And even if these guys find out eventually that they've been had, there's no hard feelings because they all had a free lunch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They all got a free lunch, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I like that kind of stuff, you know. And you see these practical joke TV shows and stuff like that, but like this stuff that's like in real life, yeah, that's funny.
And it's not you know, making anyone look, not embarrassing anyone. It's not going to, hey, look at this idiot, you know, a little bubble pops up, you know, with some.
It's not mean-spirited.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not mean-spirited.
Yeah.
It's just pure pure imagination. You know, it's just pure playfulness and imagination.
Yeah. I love stuff like that. It's inspirational. It is. It makes you think, you know, how much time that you can waste if you just have a 9-to-5 job, if that's your life, you know. And I've been stuck in that for many years because you get to a point where you have certain bills you need to pay, and obviously everyone has rent to worry about and things like that, and you get used to living a certain way of life, and if you take a nice holiday and go somewhere fancy and all that kind of stuff, you get used to that way of life, and then suddenly you're stuck in the circle, well, I've got to go to job, I've got to go to work to afford all this stuff.
Oh yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of people out there just living life in a completely different way to the rest of us.
Oh yeah.
Fascinating to see that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, it's so fun just to think like for instance, there was a. Oh, okay, hold on. I'm gonna hit stop on this and I'm gonna continue to record because sometimes when people call, I'm in the middle of a podcast. It stops the podcast. I'm gonna stop this while we're ahead, but I'm gonna come back for sure.